Well, ACT Party leader David Seymour's voluntary euthanasia bill has cleared some more stages in Parliament. MPs voted 70 to 50 in favour of the end-of-life choice bill being given a third and final reading. So we're going through the parts of the bill at the moment. But that was only after Mr Seymour introduced several amendments, including a requirement that doctors will not be able to suggest to patients they consider ending their lives. Well, David Seymour is in our Wellington studio. Good morning, Mr Seymour.
Good morning.
So just talk through the process a little bit here. You're in the committee stages of this bill at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. So we've had the first reading, we've had the select committee, the public consultation, we've had the second reading.
This is the line-by-line stuff, right?
Yeah, we're now up to the committee of the whole House stage, and that breaks the bill down into five separate debates. Last month we had one. Last night we had another one, and I suspect we're going to get through about one every second Wednesday as this bill's up for debate, and there's another two or three debates, so that'll take us through into the end of September, maybe October.
All right, let's deal with what happened last night. So you put up a number of changes, and they were passed through in the end. This significant one being that doctors can't initiate a discussion about assisted dying. Why did you feel the need to put these up?
Look, this is to alleviate concerns that people have raised. Quite frankly, I have a huge respect and trust in the New Zealand medical profession. I don't think we would have seen New Zealand doctors going around, you know, surreptitiously or improperly suggesting to people that they should have assisted dying if this becomes law. But sometimes it's important to spell things out in the law just to alleviate concerns that people have. So it now says that a medical practitioner cannot initiate a discussion that is in substance about assisted dying.
You've also said, explicitly stating that if any pressure is suspected on a person applying for assisted dying, doctors or nurses must stop the process. This is interesting, isn't it? Because this is the concern that people have around family members perhaps, you know, wanting to, you know, it's not really macabre, but wanting to see that someone die, basically.
Yeah, that's right. And people have raised that concern. I think it's been a difficult debate because, of course, you can't prove a negative. We know from overseas, 20 years of experience, that this has been studied and studied and studied. The evidence of coercion and wrongful assisted death just does not show up in the data. However, people have that concern and we're addressing it. So we're saying that if at any time there's suspicion that you're being pressured, then the process stops. The doctor has to tell you, sorry, you're out, and send fill out a form saying as much and send it to the Ministry of Health.
How do you stop, though, someone who is nearing, you know, in a terrible state and nearing the end of their life perhaps, but them being pressured to feel like they are a burden, so they start initiating the discussions, but they're doing it because they've been made to feel like they're a burden potentially by family members, because that is a concern of people.
So if you look at what the bill requires, the doctor has to talk to the person at intervals suitable to their condition. So you've got to have multiple conversations. You've got to tell them multiple times that, you know, they can pull out at any time. You've got to talk to other people involved in their care. You've got to talk to family members so long as the person gives you permission, because obviously you can't breach people's privacy in medical matters. So, you know, the doctor actually has an obligation to have a whole lot of discussions around that. And so people will say, well, you know, what if in theory somebody had completely internalized it and carried out an elaborate ruse to make people think something that they didn't think? You can never disprove that. But again, what I would say is that if that kind of stuff had been going on overseas for the last 20 years, we might start to see some evidence of it. We'd see people who were less assertive, had less money, less access to healthcare, less education and so on, would be more likely to do it. And actually, the opposite is true. It tends to be assertive, self-determining people that access it.
Just finally, so you talked a little bit about process earlier on. So this was debated late into the night. Opponents to these proposals fought you all the way, pretty much, after closing time, so to speak. Do you think it'll get through? A vote will be had at the end of this year?
Yeah, look, I mean, it is very, very difficult. It's a bit like weather forecasting progress in Parliament.
But hopefully end of the year.
But it looks likely at the current rate of progress that we'll have a final vote in Parliament in November at the latest in December.
And these changes you've made here, do you think they will keep your slim majority locked in?
Well, it's a majority of about 70 to 50, so it's not a bad majority as majorities in Parliament.
You've got a lot of wriggle room, though, have you?
Well, remember, most votes in Parliament at the moment are 63-57, and that's the basis on which Jacinda Ardern's the Prime Minister, but no one ever says that's tenuous. So, look, you know, we've got a coalition of people who believe in choice and have continued to vote for the bill all the way through so far, but I don't take any vote for granted. Okay. Of course, I'll keep lobbying and asking my fellow MPs to support
Seymour.
Choice.
Thank you very much, ACT leader David Seymour there.